on Swatara with Loudon Center. If you're here for that, anyone here for that? Okay, great. Just want to make sure because that one is going to be postponed. So, okay, great. We'll get started here in just a moment. Okay, the September 20th, 2023 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. I'll do a roll call. Tom DeDonatis?
Here.
Bill Tefuto?
Here.
Mike Angelo?
Here.
Steve Seidel, that's me, I'm here, and note that Lindsay Drew is absent today. Okay, our first order of minutes is approval of the minutes from the August 16th, 2023 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Tom. I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor, and I guess Mike and Bill, you guys were not there, so you'll be abstaining from voting. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that passes. Same will apply to the old business, the three hearings that we had at the last meeting. So Tom and I will be voting on those only. Okay, first one is adoption of a decision in the case of Kevin Pazza, case number 2023-09. I will read, normally we just read the most substantive part of the order. In this case, I will actually read a few of the paragraphs of the order since there were some additional items requested regarding the time extension. So number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-501.43.B.4 regarding the maximum number of dwelling units served by a common private driveway is granted. The applicant may construct a common private driveway that serves no more than 7 dwelling units. Number two, the relief granted herein shall be strictly contingent upon the following. A, the common private driveway shall be used solely for residential and related residential purposes only. B, all proposed lots shall be single-family residences. C, the applicant shall remove all other access to Stouffer's Church Road, particularly the gravel driveway of Lot 1 on the applicant's site plan, except for the common private driveway. No future access from the property to Stouffer's Church Road other than the access from the common private driveway shall be permitted. D, the applicant shall remove the gravel from Lot 1 on the applicant's site plan. I'm going to skip item three, which is a typical condition in every order, and I'll go to number four, which relates to the time period. Except as extended by applicable law, the relief granted herein shall be valid for 1 year from the date hereof or from the date of subdivision plan approval, whichever occurs last. And then there's some additional language there that is typical. So I'll make a motion to adopt this order.
I'll second.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion?
Nothing.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries. Our second item of old business is adoption of a decision in the case of John A. and Bonnie S. Gildersleeve, case number 2023-10. In this one, I will only read the first part. Number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-315, table 29, regarding the side yard setback for an accessory structure is granted. The applicant may encroach to within 7 feet of the road right-of-way for the proposed garage. Do I have a motion to?
I'll make a motion to accept.
Thank you, Tom. I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that passes as well. The third one is adoption of a decision in the case of Strickler Signs, case number 2023-11. Again, I will only read the first part of that. Number one, the applicant's request for a special exception pursuant to section 225-502.10 regarding the sign area of the proposed sign is granted. The applicant may install the proposed sign that is 96 square feet in area. I'll make a motion to approve that.
I'll second.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, that passes as well. Okay. So we have three items of new business tonight. The second one will be just a quick approving of or accepting of the request for continuance. So the first case that we'll hear tonight is a case of Carlos Garay and Lori Veit, case number 2023-12. So who is here? Is the applicant here? If you'd please, could you please come to the up to the microphone? And our court reporter will swear you both in. If you're going to be providing any testimony at all, you'll need to be sworn in. So our court reporter will swear you in. And again, as requested, please talk into the microphone so everyone can hear you well. If you'd give your name and address, please.
My name is Lori Veit, and my address is 48 Hillside Avenue, and it's actually in Florham Park, New Jersey, is my home. Lori Veit, 48 Hillside Avenue, Florham Park, New Jersey. FLORHAM. I do.
We have your application. You can assume we have reviewed your application, but you still need to, in the hearing, for the record, get explain what you're doing and what you're asking for from the board and how you're meeting the criteria set out in the code.
So we're intending to build a property at a home for ourselves at 333 Beach, and the request is for an accessory dwelling unit on the property, a one-bedroom apartment above the garage on the alley. It will be attached to the main home via a covered breezeway. Meets I believe there's a minimum square feet requirement, and it's smaller in proportion to meet the requirements of the size compared to the main dwelling. The lot area is large enough. It's a one-bedroom apartment, so it will only be occupied by most likely one person, no more than two. It's intended, the intended occupant is my sister, who is on a limited income and would reside in that dwelling, but have an independent kitchen, bedroom, et cetera. I did also include that in the future, as allowed by the bylaws, that it could be used for in-home domestic services if needed. I don't see that possibility in the near future. We do have four off-street parking spots, so we have a three-car garage planned and an additional spot on the driveway that clears all of the garage doors, so there actually could be four vehicles parked off-street, so that the inhabitant of the apartment would have one parking space. Again, it's attached to the main dwelling unit via the breezeway. And of course, we're willing to have an agreement with the township as indicated in the application. And I believe those are the main points.
David can bring... Thank you. David can bring up any exhibits that you wish to point anything out. I know I'd like to hear more about it. It was very hard to see the dimensions, and I don't know if there was even a full site plan. A lot of details in the drawings, but a lot of that were really not relevant to this board. There are building code details. So
I did submit a stormwater plan that shows the overall site plan from above.
Okay, well, let's start with that. So maybe you can talk about that a little bit in terms of layout of what you're proposing. Yeah, it was very hard to read at the scale that it was. So.
Right.
So can you maybe describe what this drawing is showing?
Yes. So the main dwelling is the one obviously closer to the road, down towards the lower right of the screen. There's a outdoor space there, and then the breezeway goes along that left-hand side of the property to the garage, and the accessory dwelling unit would be above the garage. The entrance to the accessory dwelling unit would be on that right-hand side, and you can see the driveway extends out that far to provide additional parking for that unit.
And what can you tell us a little more about, maybe, like, what is that dimension from the property line to the garage, and the size of the garage with the unit above it, height as well?
It's 12 feet from the alley to the garage doors.
From your property line, or from the edge of the pavement? Because they're not the same necessarily.
As it's drawn, it should be 12 feet then from the property line. I actually would need to clarify that.
It's 12 feet from the alley. The normal assumption is the cartway in most of the village, including this, is around 11 and a half to 12 feet. So you would look at the garages roughly 10 to 11 feet from of the alley.
The right-of-way is typically 15, is that right?
Yes, yes, it's a 15-foot dedicated alley.
Right, okay. So about 10 feet, plus or minus.
Yeah, 10, so 10, the right-of-way would be 7.5 feet from each side. If the alley is typical of the 11, 12 feet, you'd be looking at a foot and a half to 2 feet of right-of-way into their property, which then leads to the 10 feet from the right-of-way at the minimum.
And what's the height of the garage with the accessory unit? What's the maximum height?
The maximum height would be 35 feet. Because it isn't attached.
I'm sorry, David. I was asking the applicant what is the height of the proposed structure?
I'm not exactly sure of the height of the structure. The garage itself is 8 to 9 feet. The apartment, the accessory dwelling unit height would be 9 feet, and then the roof above that. It's not as high as the main structure, which is below the 35-foot maximum.
Other questions?
So the main, if you look on the bottom part, the main structure of the home is towards the right, and the left-hand side is the left-hand side of the screen is the accessory dwelling unit, and above the garage.
Other questions?
You can ask that.
Just wanted some clarification, and maybe Megan, you can help out with this. But looking at the criteria 502.9, number one, it says one accessory dwelling unit may be established when accessory to a single family detached or semi-detached, a single family attached, or two family detached dwelling unit when the principal dwelling is existing or otherwise permitted in the base overlay. So is it? The part I was confused about is that language that states when the principal dwelling is existing. Is that, does that come into play in this case?
I believe that the single family is permitted in the zoning district.
So it's an or otherwise permitted governs?
Yes.
And David, on follow-up to Mike's question, the principal dwelling unit would, as proposed, since it says or otherwise permitted as proposed, would meet all dimensional requirements, all setback requirements, obviously height and impervious, if as proposed.
Yes, the proposed dwelling meets height. The main structure is 33 feet tall. It doesn't answer how tall the actual garage is, but the maximum height of the main portion of the house is 33 feet, give or take a few inches. It meets all setbacks, and it is actually a little set in from the setbacks. Not much, but it's not directly on the setback line. Single-family homes are permitted use in that zoning district. It provides the necessary parking. So in short, it does meet all zoning requirements.
Perfect. Thanks.
Other questions?
I've got nothing.
No. Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to add before I open it up for public comment?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to provide testimony in this case? Please come up to the podium.
Good evening. My name is Karen Okam. I live at 341 Beach Avenue. So one of the questions I have in regards
to...
Slow down, please. We have to swear you in first.
We have to swear you in, and I'd like you to repeat your name, please.
Yes, please. A little slower. We're not that quick.
State with my name.
Yes.
Karen J. Okam. O-C-A-M-B.
And you said you lived at 341 Beach Avenue?
Beach Avenue.
Okay, and she'll swear you in.
I do. I can go ahead now?
Yeah.
Thank you. So one of the questions I have in regards to the property line versus the house, how much of a variance is there between the line of the property between 341 and 333? Is there going to be a variance for that as far as like 5 feet, or is it less? So they're right on the property line. Is there a specific amount that should be negated as far as what that difference is between the property line and their dwelling?
Yeah, so they're not asking us to grant a variance.
Okay.
They're not asking this board to grant a variance.
But that's a question I can ask them or not?
I think David would be the best one to tell you what the...
So based on the stormwater management plan that was submitted to the township, the side setback, the closest it gets to the side property line is 9.5 feet. The minimum requirement is 5 feet.
5 feet. All right. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify in this case? Please come up to the mic again. Need your name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Katie Lett, L-E-T-T, and it's Katie, K-A-T-I. I'm at 311 Beach Avenue. I do. I just wanted to come up here and say that the accessory dwelling unit being just down the road is just, I've grown up in the town, and it's just something that I'm not sure how many there are in the village at this point in time. I'm not sure if any have been approved, but I just don't think that it should, we should start a precedent if this is the first one. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Okay, hearing none, then we'll close this hearing, and just want to let the applicant know that the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way. Thank you. Okay, our next item of new business tonight, as I mentioned, the applicant has requested a continuance in the case of Loudon Center LLC, case number 2023-13. And so I'll make a motion that we accept that continuance and put that on the agenda for the November, I believe it's 15th?
Yes. Right?
November 15th, 2023 meeting?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so that passes, so we'll put that on the agenda for November 15th. I guess it was too late to put it on for the October meeting because of how early that meeting is next month?
Yes, the October meeting is a week earlier, so advertisement had to go out a week earlier. So.
Right, okay.
The October meeting is October
11th. I think it's 11th.
Yeah, it's the 11th, that I know for sure.
No, it should be 6 p.m. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's October 11th at 6 p.m.
Yeah, okay.
Which works out because our Halloween parade is the 18th at 6 p.m.
Okay.
So.
All right.
I know you guys all wanted to go.
All right, so we'll move on to our last new case today, and that is a hearing in the case of Creekview Management, LLC, case number 2023-14.
Absolutely. Yep, just red button.
Again, anyone who will be testifying will need to swear each of you in, so.
So, good evening. My name is Craig Smith. I am a landscape architect and principal at RGS Associates. And with me is Brian Holt, who represents Creekview Management LLC, the applicant.
Bryanholt.
Okay, so we're here tonight to review a property that's on the southwest corner of Roush Road and Bullfrog Valley Road. And this is about a 2.2-acre property. It's zoned R1 residential with the Sandhill Overlay 12. So Creekview Management is here to propose a landscape business. And before we go on to a little bit of the description of what's intended and the variance application, I'm going to have Brian just give you a quick overview of what his business currently is. So,
good evening. So my brother Eric and I, we started the business back in 2009. And by 2014, we outgrew our parents' property. We moved then into Hershey at 425 West Chocolate Avenue, right across from what is now current Hinsdale Spirits. So we currently have our facility there, operation building there. And 5 years now from then, we've achieved our growth there, and we're looking to find a place of our own. So this piece of property came available, and last year we settled on 970 Bullfrog Valley Road. So now we're looking to probably grow 20% to 30% from where we're currently at, and this would allow us the opportunity to do so. It would both create an environment for us to move our operations from where we're currently at, and would also allow us to give us the opportunity to create some sort of a bulk storage material for landscape supplies. So that's kind of the avenue we're looking to take. Again, just more so in terms of growth from where we currently are. Other than that, that's all I have to say.
So we submitted the sketch plan that you're seeing on the screen here. And again, on the south side of Bullfrog Valley Road, what we are proposing in the sketch plan is about an 8,000 square foot building that would have office space as well as vehicle storage and essentially the area that they would run their landscape business from. There are about a dozen parking spaces that would be proposed in conjunction with the business. And then there are some bins, outdoor bins, that would be located on the south side of the property as well as on the Bullfrog Valley Road side of the property. And really, those bins are meant for landscape material storage. So we're talking about mulch, gravel, sand, firewood, that type of thing is what really the intent of these outdoor bins are. So access will be provided in this location. There is a current access to the property that's located, I'll call it a little bit west of where we're intending the new access to occur. And the property is currently under their ownership, and there's some things happening relative to, you know, their storage of materials at the moment. But again, the purpose of this is to really expand their business and move to this location. So really the hardship about this application has to do with the configuration of the property. So it's 2.2 acres in size. This dark line essentially that runs through here is what the township would require in their ordinance as an environmental setback. So there is a drainage way that comes currently down through the backside of this property on the south side. The environmental setback is a 50-foot setback from what would be a stream. Now, one thing I want to clarify is that, and I don't know, David, if you have that photo up, we did submit a photo of what currently the stream looks like, and essentially you can see kind of this configuration, which, so it's a drainage way, and we did some analysis on it with our environmental sub-consultant. Technically, it would be considered a regulated drainage way. However, understand that this is not a stream in the sense of it doesn't have a base flow. This is a collection of an upland drainage area. It's somewhat in a little bit of an eroded condition, but it travels down through the south side of the property. So I wanted to be clear that this is really what the current configuration of what this looks like out on the site now. So if you flip back to the sketch plan. So that drainage way we just looked at was kind of down through here, again, through the south side of the property. Because this is in this location and the topography, I don't know if you can see this on here, but there are white lines that are shown on here, the topography. These are each 1 foot in elevation. This is based on LIDAR contours. And again, there's an elevation difference of, I'll take from the corner of where this bin is being proposed down to the drainage way is about, there's an 8 foot difference. So 8 to 10 foot difference. This is obviously much higher than what's down in this location. There's also a tree line, as you can kind of see and pick up along here, that exists. So point being, with this drainage way that goes through here, there's also a drainage discharge from Bullfrog Valley Road that comes in this location. If you kind of take that corner and take that into consideration, there's about 40% of the property that's essentially is undevelopable. It is undevelopable. And so the challenge with this is you know, the landscape business, which is a permitted use in the O12 overlay, in order to get the circulation and to, you know, provide a practical turnaround, truck turning and things that have to happen, we are requesting some relief of the environmental setback, and I'll get into that. But again, back to the hardship, this piece in through here is about 40% of the property. There are landscaping requirements, buffering requirements along Bullfrog Valley Road and along Roush Road. There's a 25-foot width a buffer that's required from the right-of-way. And we fully intend to provide that buffer. But again, if you consider the large right-of-way that exists out here now, the 25-foot buffer, and the drainageway that goes through the property, there's over half of the property that really they can't do anything but their business on. So that being said, what we are proposing is to encroach onto what was a 50-foot environmental setback. That's one of the variances. So section 225.401.2.1b is disturbance within 50 feet of the stream, the environmental setback. And again, as I had mentioned, this line actually represents, this bold line represents what that 50-foot setback looks like. You can see in some instances we are proposing some things within that setback in through here. And again, the reason for that is because of the turning movements and things associated with the business that we need to, that needs to operate. This line, just for clarification, there's another lighter line that is drawn in this location. This property went through a subdivision prior, and that line was established. And I want to point that out because it was on a plan of record. And we actually went back, and we've been working with the township manager on, you know, this through the process, and updated the location of the stream based on a more accurate LIDAR contours. I don't know that this was actually surveyed at the time. So the difference between the dark line, which we believe is a 50-foot setback, and the light line, which was on a recorded plan, you can kind of see the difference. And so we think the light, the darker line is the more accurate based on the topography that we updated. But point being, we're going to be inside that is what we're proposing as a part of this. The second part of the variance application is section 225.304, table 7. And this has to do with an accessory structure setback. So if you look, this is along Bullfrog Valley Road. If you see the first dashed line, actually, it's probably the second one here, if I'm looking at it correctly. There's a principal building setback that we're adhering to. So there's no parking within that principal building setback. Obviously, the building's not within the building setback. And right now, what we are showing are these bins, these outdoor storage bins that are in this location that would be, again, outside the principal building setback. Per the ordinance, a front yard accessory setback is actually 20 feet more than the principal building setback. So that's the dashed line in through here. That would be a front yard accessory setback. So if you can imagine, if these bins were pushed in and respected that accessory building setback, and this bin was pushed in to respect this 50-foot environmental setback, you'd have relatively no space to maneuver or do anything relative to the business operations. There's about 120 feet of depth from the right-of-way line of Bullfrog Valley Road back to the usable space on the property. So it's not a lot of depth for, again, for the landscape business that's proposed. What we would like to do is, again, respect the principal building setback. We are going to adhere to all of the buffering requirements. So from a visual or an aesthetic standpoint, the buffering will still be proposed in this front yard as well as the Roush Road front yard. The difference is we're not going to add those 20 additional feet for the accessory setback. We are proposing to adhere to the principal building setback. And then similarly, on the south side of the property, there's a tree line, and you can see the grading a little bit better here, the topography. You know, we're proposing to not encroach on that slope, if you will, and that tree line, because that's really what exists out there now. We did some historic digging into some older aerials, and I don't know, again, David, if you can bring that other aerial up, but I think it's the third sheet. There's a 2003, I know it's tough to see, but it's, you can kind of see where that line is and what the historical use of the property. So at one point in time, this is gravel, is my point, in through here, and this portion was gravel as well. And so historically, the property has been used up to that tree line or the top of that slope. So we're simply here to ask for a variance of those two items to allow for, again, the turning movement and the use of this property as a landscape business.
Could you clarify, because I'm not sure if I heard you correctly, but you said you are or are not going to cut into the tree line that's there now.
The tree line that's there now essentially will remain. So it's more about the tree line and the slope. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, and you know the site better than I do now. The tree line and the slope, the top of the slope, are essentially in a similar location.
Yeah, he's exactly right. The tree line and the slope are pretty well along the same. So the tree line that's there currently is right in line with where it drops off, where the slope kind of drops off there. And we're not looking to impede or impose on more of that slope. We're looking to try to use the flat usable space that's currently there.
So you're not going to do any fill or cutting in?
Correct.
In that sloped area?
Correct, yeah. We're not looking to migrate towards the stream. We're just looking to use the main area that's proposed, the flat area that's currently there. Because a little bit of that was shown for the setback was already, I'll call it usable space, prior to us moving in there by the previous owner. So we're just looking to kind of use the flat space that's currently there without impeding closer to the stream.
Okay, I want to clarify that because that photo you or that aerial you were just showing didn't. It seemed that the tree line was further.
Which one?
Towards the one you had on right before this. Keep going back, David. Yeah, I mean that. And again, at this, I don't know when this was taken, but some of the older ones are not real good.
This is 20 years ago.
Okay. That's what I wanted to establish.
I'm not representing the existing condition.
It's kind of fuzzy, but it looks like it is, looks like what you're proposing would be cutting into that area, into that treed area. But again.
And you're talking about here?
I'm talking about down where where your buffer line is essentially horizontal across.
Yeah.
Would you be able to go back to the contour map?
Yeah, I see what you were saying about on the contour map. I just want to be clear here.
No, you're correct. Yeah, so where the contour maps are shown there, the lines where it drops off, the trees are located right along that line, or if not down a little bit further, maybe like 5 feet off. But everything that's above those lines is currently flat, or grass or stone or gravel that's currently there. So, yeah.
Okay. And Mr. Smith, was that line established by your firm in surveying this property?
In which line?
The tree line as well as the other.
So that's based on a prior survey that we did not do.
Okay.
So one of the things we're going to have to do, obviously, is go through land development plan. We're going to have to go through NPDES permitting. And as a part of that, we're going to update the survey. So I want to be clear, there's no exactness to this at this point. We're simply asking that we can encroach within that 50 feet up to the top of that slope. Now, the LIDAR topography, we did insert that. Again, that's from the aerial that the state does. It's typically fairly accurate, but we'll have to survey, you know, we'll have to get some additional survey of the condition of this because we want to make sure we're accurate in what we're showing.
You got a question, Bill?
I will have some.
Okay. I didn't mean to totally interrupt your presentation. I heard you say something that I wanted to clarify before we got too much further. So go ahead, please continue.
So the other thing that obviously we provided, and I'll just hit on these briefly, and again, if you want me to elaborate, I will. In the narrative, we provided a description of both of the variances that are being requested. And I wanted to hit on the criteria that we had to address, and that this is I'm on page 2 now of the narrative. And again, just briefly, I'll go over item 1. And 1 is that we need to show that there are unique physical circumstances or conditions about the property, meaning irregularity or narrowness or that type of thing. So when I describe the property as, 120 feet deep, essentially from the right-of-way line to where the top of the slope is, because there's a drainage way that's coming through the south portion, then, that really shows that the uniqueness of this property is that it's a good portion of it, but you can't do anything with it, is what the point is. So there is unique physical circumstances, including the drainage way and the slopes that are on the site. Number 2, that because of physical circumstances or conditions, there's no possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity. Again, reiterating the fact that, the business of the landscape business is to accommodate the delivery and the sale of and the use of landscape materials. There's obviously logistics associated with trucks coming in, dumping the materials, their vehicles getting those materials and getting them back on the road and back on to another site. And those we looked at from a turning movement perspective. We actually did a bunch of different versions of the sketch plan, and realistically, this is the tightest we can make it to allow for a viable business. So those are the physical circumstances that we're dealing with as far as accommodating the trucks. Number 3 is that unnecessary hardship has not been created by the appellant. And just as we showed with the historical aerial, this property has been used. It has been, I'll say, somewhat disturbed up until the top of the slope. And so we're simply asking that, based on the historical use, that we can continue to use essentially what was used throughout the years on this property. Number 4, if the variance, if authorized, will not alter the essential character. I think the two things to point out here, as I have already, is we're going to adhere to the principal setback, the 30-foot front yard setback, just not the accessory setback, and that the required plant material will be provided in the form of a buffer along Bullfrog Valley Road and along Roush Road. So again, from a visual standpoint, it's somewhat indiscernible from the road. Number 5, if the variance of authorized will represent the minimum variance, and again, the 30 feet, adhering to the principal building setback is the way we're going to respect the minimum variance allowed. So we're not trying to encroach on any of the principal building setbacks. So that's really what the application is about. We also are requesting a time extension of, rather than the 1-year maximum required by the ordinance, we would like, as a part of the application, for it to be 2 years. And again, this is kind of more of a precaution of, we have to go through land development plans, we have to go through NPDS permitting, and obviously go through construction. So we want to just make sure there's enough time allowed if the board were willing to grant these 2 variances. Questions on the application?
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah. First of all, good job on your presentation, and you guys, congrats on the business. It's great growth, and I'm glad you're trying to do something good. I've lived within a couple miles of that corner for 38 years, so I hope that you're successful. I'm going to preface my questions with something, and then we'll just put it aside. But
I don't know if you did due diligence before you closed on the property, and maybe you did, and maybe this is the gamble right here, that you would get the variances, and I hope you gambled correctly if you did. But on the stream, did you guys, you said that you had some environmental studies. Did you do macro invertebrate studies on that water course?
So it was really just a look. We had our sub-consultant go out and look, are there wetlands present? Is this drainage way considered
perennial, ephemeral, intermittent?
Yeah, exactly. And so right. We only took it to that level. It okay. was just a matter of, and the whole reason was we wanted to assure, where is this 50-foot setback
right.
measurement
right.
from?
That's what I'm going to get at
right.
in my questions. I haven't been practicing for a couple years, but DEP was trying to get their definitions all consolidated. They were all different. But last time, when they were trying to get them consolidated, they removed a bed and banks definition, they removed a flow definition, and they were squaring in on the bugs. And you have to do a point of first use determination of where that macroinvertebrate community begins. And that's where the stream definition begins. And maybe that's been done, I don't know. The reason that I'm asking is because you may need a 105 permit.
Right.
Did you determine that yet?
So we didn't get to that point. So
okay.
depending on where stormwater management goes,
yeah.
we may have a 105 permit for that GP4 for that discharge. I understand
right.
exactly what you're
Yeah, saying. And a setback yeah. situation.
Right.
So yeah, you're probably going to have you're going to want to for your it may not be. However, my experience shows that even when something doesn't look like a stream at all and even when it's stormwater, if that community exists, they'll define it as a stream. So
understood. And
yeah.
just so your Vortex Environmental went out and looked at it, and Brad Gock and I were looked at it. He's been in the business for many, many years. And it was just a first look. He provided a sketch. It is, you know, it was determined as regulated to a point.
Yeah.
And there are some wetlands, I'll call it on the west side.
Yeah.
As a part of the land development plan, we're going to have to nail that all down.
Right.
Run our PNDI, everything associated with the NPDES permit.
Right.
So we'll get into all that stuff. It's just a little premature to get to that point
right.
until we know where we stand with this application.
Okay. Yeah, that because when we talk about it, that may come up as a prerequisite that if that stream is defined and needs a 105 permit, that right. that would be a prerequisite to anything. Because I didn't look at our ordinance for a stream definition, but I don't yeah. know if it's consistent with the DEP setbacks at this time.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's two different things. I know exactly what you're talking about. And then there's the zoning ordinance, which
right.
says the 50-foot
yep.
buffer. And that's what we're here to deal with as far as
yeah.
you know, one of the environmental pieces of this is a stream. So that's the piece that we're dealing with in this variance application.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's all I wanted to get clarification on.
Yeah.
So hand it over to you guys. And
I have a question or two.
Yeah.
The landscape buffer that's required along Bullfrog Valley Road, is that a raised bed buffer area or is it at grade level?
I think it's at grade level, but there's specific amount of trees, I believe, that are required as a part of that buffer. So whatever the ordinance requires, we're going to have to adhere to.
Okay.
On both of those street frontages.
The accessory structure, are there elevations from street to see what it looks like and how attractive or unattractive it
so
might appear?
I know they're concrete structures, and I'm going to have Brian describe a little bit of what they look like.
Yeah, and I'd add to that, you know, what's the height of those structures?
Yeah.
Certainly. I can kind of elaborate on that.
I guess
so,
height from not just from a grade on the site, but, you know, what would be the height above the, say, the pavement, you know, on Bullfrog Valley.
So we're looking to construct this out of the, we'll call them overflow concrete pours that they form, where you've seen them, probably other local landscape supply stores. They have them kind of interlocked in a staggered pattern, so they're 2 foot by 2 foot by, I believe, 6 foot long, so 2 feet high. And we're looking to go, max was 8 feet on the bins. And obviously they'd be tapered down towards the ends or towards the outlets, or the inlets, I guess you would call it. And then on the west side, that's closer to the stormwater management area that we're looking to do, we would probably develop some sort of maybe a cover, an overhead coverage on those, just those bins themselves, to keep some of the materials, for example, soil or firewood, keep them dry, keep those materials dry. But everything along Bullfrog Valley would be we're looking at 8 feet max.
All right, David, could you possibly pull back up the proposed, the drawing with the proposed landscape buffer? Okay, yeah. So all the greenery there along Bullfrog, is that following what is required by the ordinance, or is that just a rough sketch?
It's roughly is. So there's two pieces there. There's a street tree requirement, which you see on the outside, mm-hmm. and then there's the buffering requirement, mm-hmm. okay. which you can roughly pick up on here. It's approximate.
Okay. What I'm trying to get at is that I would prefer if something isn't offensive appearance over time from the outside as you're driving up Bullfrog Valley Road, that it's either sheltered or protected by the buffer, or that the outside of the structure is not unsightly and kept.
Yeah.
Can I add something quick?
Yeah.
When we started going through the planning process with this, it also came across that if we were able to do the bins in this way, where this would be, we'd be able to hide this like with the landscape buffer, but this would also kind of create some security for us as well, acting as not a fence, but it creates, you know, problems with people trying to get in there and you know, for heaven's sake, take some of our material, you know. So this kind of helps create somewhat of a security barrier for us as well. So that way, you know, we figured this might kind of accomplish two things at once.
Yeah. Thank you.
So your intention is your intention, regardless of the specific wording in the ordinance, then that this buffer, you would extend this buffer down to the north, generally to the north?
The west.
I'm sorry, is that
I think
west?
To the west, I believe, yeah. Down Bullfrog.
Yeah, we would extend. North, we would extend
west north. Yeah.
Similar to what you're seeing in this location, there's a drainage pipe crossing and easements associated with that we'd have to respect, but generally speaking, yes, we'd be in that location.
Okay, as opposed to only where the structure is and ending it there, and then you still have the view, particularly across where your stormwater management might be, you'd still have that view coming in from there.
Yeah. And one,
so I agree with Tom on that.
Yeah, we would do something similar to what we're showing on there. One thing to point out too is just so you're aware, the stormwater management facility may or may not be there because of infiltration testing. It may be an underground facility, to be honest, under the parking lot. There are some trees that are located in that location now. But again, part of the land development plan, we're going to have to sort through all of that.
Okay. Any other questions?
I did have a question, if you've all asked yours.
Please.
What is the encroachment into the environmental setback?
Dimensionally?
Yeah, dimensionally.
So it varies. So if you go back to the, thanks, David. So you can see here, it's not much of anything, but here it's approximately half a parking space. So it would be 10 feet or so.
Okay.
But again, I will preface that with, we need to make sure we're surveying this and everything is up to date and accurate. So it may, I can't give you an exact number on that. But you can see the dark line is where we anticipate the line to be. So you can see here it's encroaching into it 10 feet or so. You know, the part of the application really is to say, again, back to the whole, we would like to stay within the top of the slope, because once we get it surveyed, we can clearly define what that is and what's out there, and then that way that'll inform the dimensions, but it's definitely going to be above the slope.
Right, I understand that. I was just trying to think in terms of if the board granted the application, what specifically you're asking the board to, what relief you're asking for.
How many feet into the environmental assessment zone you're requiring?
Yeah, and again, So the streamline actually comes right through here. The top of the slope is in through here. So what we're asking for is to the top of the slope. So instead of the 50 foot we're showing, it may be 20 feet till you get to the slope.
But that's an estimate.
It's just an estimate, yeah. Again, based on what we know about the sketch, the GIS, and the LIDAR information that we have, this may be, this dimension, at some point, may be 20 feet. And again, until you get back in through here, you can see where the slope is. We're not encroaching on that slope. That's really the defining area.
So are you saying that that plan and that paved area could come, I think this dimension, this is northwest, it could potentially come down? Is that what you're saying, is that that line is not fixed?
It's not intended to do that, but you have grading and things associated with it. So the requirement is for disturbance.
Right.
So that's why we want to make sure where there's a little bit of buffer, we can't obviously just
so stop. It could be some grading cut fill, minor cut fill that is disturbing
exactly.
It to get to that
exactly.
Pavement.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Do you know the date of this survey that you're showing here?
I do not off the top of my head. We did not do the survey work.
Dave, does it show it on the title block?
That's our title block.
Oh, that's your title
yeah.
block. Oh, okay.
So all that right. was a previous survey. And like I said, we imported the LIDAR contours to be more accurate. But again, this like I said, this is going to have to be surveyed on this top anyway, and that's going to help.
Yeah, I like Bill over there. I've been a resident most of my life in Hershey. I think the previous owners have continued to expand over time, just pushing more earth out toward the creek. But obviously, the definition of the location of the actual creek bed is the key.
Yep.
Yeah. So, okay.
And like we said before, this tree line was from the previous survey for the purpose of a subdivision. There was no improvement. So I'm going to guess that this was a very approximate line. And we'll help clarify that by doing some additional survey up in this area.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I think the problem, the challenge I'm having, and I think it's been voiced, but you know, is the definition of the sensitive environmental area, in terms of, unless I'm misreading this, should not be physically disturbed or used for any use, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not just where you're placing the bins, but what space you need to construct this, correct? That you're
correct.
Asking for. So
exactly.
I'm having a little, and the fact that we're also saying, you're saying that, well, some of this might change once a more detailed survey's done and more detailed, as Bill was talking to, more detailed environmental assessment is done. So I'm a little concerned how we word this, even if we were to grant this, what exactly we are going to say that contains it such that you don't just have free reign to do anything, but at the same point gives you enough to do, if we're so inclined, gives you enough to do what you're showing us here.
Yeah, I will say the intent is what we're showing on this sketch plan. As you're well aware, when you get into the details of that, things get refined.
Right.
But the intent is to hold this line approximately. I mean, I would suggest that we say that at the top of this slope, meaning where we start to, and it's pretty clear out on the site when it starts to fall over there and it's wooded, we're not going to encroach on the top of that slope. And Brian has no intention of encroaching down past that slope. So whatever currently exists here from a, you know, this is where the disturbance was or you know, is, that's the what we're going to follow.
Right. I mean, my concern about, back to my earlier questions about tree line and so on, and I realize I've been involved in enough of these to know that little, wavy line there showing a tree line or vegetation line is, you know, typically not real
right.
precise or accurate.
Right.
But the top of the slope there and that line and that wavy line is quite a difference here. So,
right.
Again, I'm trying to, you know, how do we... If we're inclined to approve this, how do we word this in a way that puts some bounds on it that suits your purposes, but yeah. at the same point, it's not just a carte blanche?
Understand.
David, could you possibly expand out a little bit to see the north arrow? Is that... oh, okay. So it'd be the basically the southwest corner of the property where the encroachment would be for the most part.
Which way is north? This way?
Straight to the toward right. the corner of the page. See it?
Yeah, it'd be this south area, right.
I can't read that.
Yeah, I think southwest corner, south corner. All right. Thank you. Yeah. I'm good.
Any other questions? Give you guys a minute. Any other questions? Okay. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to ask?
I don't think so. You have anything else?
No. Okay. Again, you know, the board has 30 days. The board has 30 days to render a decision, and you have 45 days. I'm sorry. We have 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way.
Okay.
Thank you for your presentation
tonight.
Appreciate
your time. Thank you.
Okay, any other business? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned to executive session to deliberate on these two cases. Thank you.